Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is Friday. It's frickin' Friday. Another frickin' week. Frickin' weekend's coming up. And I'm frickin' ecstatic when I consider the possibilities. It's also the 20th day of April, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program. Listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 and unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 55 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 63 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. A beautiful spring day. No complaints, people. None. That being said, let's see what we're going to jump into here. Remnants of migrant caravan resume trek to U.S. border, and we're going to get into it as soon as we return from this break.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, remnants of migrant caravan resume trek to U.S. border. This is from CBS News. It was sent in by Paul for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The remnants of a migrant caravan of Central Americans that angered President Donald, continued their journey north through Mexico towards the U.S. border Wednesday. Organizer Arino Mahicha. Speaking from the western Mexico city of Guadalajara, said that 500 migrants had been riding trains north since departing Mexico City last week. The caravan that left the Guatemala-Mexico border in late March grew to more than 1,000 migrants who found safety traveling in numbers. In Mexico City, had said the capital was the caravan's last official stop, but many of the migrants feared going solo on the dangerous final leg north and decided to keep traveling en masse. Some who had split off to press on alone reported back about kidnappings and having their papers for safe passage torn up. Their papers issued by the Mexican government to come up here and invade our frickin' country, people. And if they, you know, if they're there in Mexico, are they in danger? They're not in Guatemala. So they're not in, I guess that was where they were from, right? Central America. They're not Central America. They're in goddamn Mexico. They're in North America, and they're not in any kind of distress. The Mexicans don't want to take them, then that's a problem they have down there. But, I mean, they're giving them papers of transit to come on up and invade our country. This is an invasion being assisted by those bastards to the south of us known as Mexico. Their papers were torn up. Their papers of safe passage. That means they're facilitating invasion into our country. That caused the group to regroup. He said, "I don't know how to say that. let's see, Mahis, I don't know, it don't matter, said they were headed for Tijuana, where about half plan to go to the border to request asylum in the U.S. And, you know, it would just be the proper thing for it to be documented. Right up these son of a bitches crossing from Guatemala into Mexico, show them going down, getting their papers from Mexico to come on up to invade our border. And then show them walking right up with all of that goddamn National Guard and all that Border Patrol down there walking right up to them and show them, giving them their check and giving them their bus ticket to head on into the United States. Then you can see what Donald Trump's doing, that dirty lying son of a bitch. Mr. Trump has rallied against the caravan, even threatening the renegotiation of the North American Free Trade Agreement if Mexico did not stop its progress. Stop it. And that's what they were saying when they reported this, that Mexico was somehow stopping this whole thing. And we just read they're giving them transit papers that got tore up, right? It's all a lie. The majority were Honduras, that's where I was talking about, fleeing gang violence and the instability that followed the contested re-election of President Juan Orlando Hernandez. Are they in distress, people, right now? If Mexico has taken them in, they love the Mexicans have patted them on the head, but man, they don't have the Walmarts, like with a free Walmart like we do up here, and that's what the bastards are coming for. Mr. Trump also threatened U.S. aid to Honduras in a tweet and announced that he was calling for a deployment of National Guard to the border. For what? To help facilitate the goddamn invasion, just like when Obama sent them down there. What did they do? They helped get more of them across the border and into your communities, cutting up your children quicker. This, nothing has changed. This is the same shit you would have had with Hillary Clinton, isn't it? Only everybody wouldn't be, well, you got to give him another chance. You got to let Trump be Trump. He's a traitor, you see, and you just got to let him be yourself, man. Come on. Loosen up. When the caravan shrank, Mr. Trump struck a more conciliatory tones, crediting the Mexican government's enforcement of immigration laws. How was that? What do you mean? What they did was they issued them passage papers to go through Mexico to invade our border. They didn't enforce none of their own immigration laws. They just said, oh, if you're invading America, we'll help you. Immigration laws. For the most part, Mexican authorities issued transit papers to those migrants who wished to request asylum in the United States and started paperwork for those who wanted to stay in Mexico. So they're in Mexico. There's some of them down there going to get asylum down there. They're safe from what was going on in Honduras. They just want to come up here, people, for the goddamn free Walmart. For the goodies. Look at them. I mean, they got better clothes than I got. And goddamn, they're all fat. They look pretty goddamn healthy to me. But you gotta raise my children for me. You gotta do it. I want you to work for me to pay my freight, man. Don't you see I have a right in your country to have you work and take care of me and raise my children at the expense of your own? God, I tell you, spit in the face, people. Federal court rules against Trump's sanctuary city crackdown efforts. What a joke. What a joke this whole production is, man. Nothing is changing. Not one goddamn one of them is being stopped than it was under Obama, and I think everybody's figured that out. And oh, but Trump comes up, well, we're gonna do the sanctuary city thing, and wink, wink over at his buddies over there, his communist buddies. Damn, I would have really liked to did what I said. I would have really liked to enforce the law, but those courts won't let me. They just won't let me. The courts have all the power. I mean, I have the law here saying that, you know, signing statements aside, you know, granting exceptions aside, I can sign an executive order and the law has to be enforced. But I mean, and see, they're playing this game with the sanctuary cities. You know, the sanctuary cities would become pretty irrelevant if he went down there and started arresting those bastards for obstruction of justice. Now, wouldn't it? For harboring fugitives. Now, wouldn't it? I mean, this thing they're talking about with the sanctuary cities, they're talking about goddamn murderers and shit and MS-13 gang members they're releasing on the streets. Isn't that harboring fugitives for you and me? See, there's no intent here. If it was intent, then Trump would use what power he had and he would shut this shit down in any president, real president could, under a real system of law, but there is none. This is just a game. But what they're throwing out there into the press as they continue the invasion. We talked about the Koch brothers yesterday, going to be there lobbying for the so-called dreamers, you know, and their families, 11 million of them, and God knows how many it'll be, closer probably to 60, 70, 80 million by the time it's all over, because you got to take grandma and grandpa. You got to take the third cousins. You got to take the second cousins. You got to take the aunts, the uncles. I mean, here. A federal appeals court in Illinois, this was sent in by a reader, by the way. It's from Fox News. A federal appeals court in Illinois ruled, Illinois? Not in Illinois. You mean the communist state of Illinois? That, like I said, they should have been, Rahm Emanuel should have been arrested. They all should be arrested. I mean, all you got to do is enforce the law, and he has the ability to enforce the law, but he's going to play these games here. We're going to try to cut their sanctuary status, and then we can have some court cases. Geez, we just couldn't do nothing about it. Yeah, you can. You could arrest them. You have the goddamn cause. This is one of the times when your admiralty jurisdiction applies because it's to your own. A federal appeals court in Illinois ruled Thursday the Trump administration could not withhold public safety grants from cities solely because those cities had so-called sanctuary policies protecting illegal immigrants. Protecting illegality. Now, let's just cut the bullshit. Protecting illegality. That's what they're saying. What happens to you and me if we protect someone who committed a crime? They would throw our ass in jail for obstruction of justice. But you're not going to see that because, man, they can't do that to one another because they're the ruling elite. They'll play these games as they're pumping more. Once they get their slave force in here, they'll all turn around and flip us the finger. We got enough armed slaves now to put down this other slave bunch. We can pay these bunch of slaves to kill these bunch of slaves. The decision by... Go ahead, sorry.
It's just like when you miss your birthday and you go down to the DMV to get your license. Well, now, if you are driving, you know, and you go down there to pay for the privilege, I'm wiggling my fingers here, the privilege through color of law and pay your money and get your picture, you are driving illegally because the driver's license expires on your birthday. And if you go after your birthday, well, now you have to, as far as they're concerned, you got to find another driver to drive there because you're acting against the law.
Oh, it's all bullshit, Mike. You know it. I know it.
It's a racket, damn it.
Of course it is. I mean, if you took back and you took the government labels off everything, you'd get out the Racketeering Act. Well, yeah, this is pure racketeering. And I mean, it is the definition of racketeering. Yeah, and it's not going to stop, guys. It's not going to stop until we stop it. This illusion that, you know, the Trumps of the world, that there's going to be some champion come along on a white horse and fix all of this for us, it ain't going to happen. Better get used to the idea that you're going to have to do it. Justice Department spokesman Devin O'Malley said the department believes it exercised its authority given by Congress to attach conditions to grants. That's not what this how they go with some issue that they know that they can have an argument about and then the courts can rule on it instead of just enforcing the frickin' law. I'm telling you people right now, I don't want to look at it from your own perspective. Are they obstructing the federal execution of these federal laws that were legislated? And they are applicable to foreigners. They can't legislate laws to enact upon us, but this is, by God, what they're for, to protect our sovereignty, to protect our borders. That's what we hired them for, to protect us from the outside. Remember, that's why we accepted that Constitution. That's why we accepted that federal government. We had to have it because everybody was going to be coming here to take what we got. And here you have these son of a bitches aiding and abetting, using public offices to obstruct justice and, to pretend there's nothing that could be done about it is pretending because all you got to do is go down and arrest them. Send federal marshals down to arrest Rahm Emanuel. And I guarantee you, once you've arrested the first few, everybody else would jump to fall into line. But I wouldn't stop there. I'd keep arresting. I'd arrest every one of them that's defied the law because that is applicable law to these goddamn foreigners and to these state actors to protect our goddamn national borders. Because it ain't just like who can let who in because it's our state. No, it's our country. And the resources of this country belong to each and every American national. And every time you let one of them in, you take from every goddamn one of us without due process of the law. And that's the stickler. That's why, like I said, you do not hear the Bill of Rights brought forth. The Bill of Rights, I mean, I'd like to sit down with old Napolitano and see if he could out-argue me on this goddamn issue, because I promise you he can't. And what they're doing, like Mike said, is under color of law. It's all bullshit. But what we got to watch out for is the invasion continues. Now people think that maybe something might be getting done. Nothing's getting done. Nothing's going to get done. Nothing is going to happen until you make it happen. The Trump administration in July imposed a condition that cities receiving public safety grants must agree to inform federal agents when immigrants in the country illegally are about to be released from police detention. Chicago was among several cities that sued the administration. There should not be this lawsuit bullshit. This is not, they're not in the civil world. They are in the admiralty world. They are the government. They are, see, the laws they're inflicting upon us are the ones that are supposed to be applicable to them and not to us. And they've taken our status as the free sovereigns of this country away from us, and now they're sitting up there like nothing can apply to them because they're the goddamn sovereigns, and we're just been reduced to property. That's why that Bill of Rights, man, it is the key. It is the absolute. It's the only way we're going to get out of this, and we need to quit effing around. We need to quit calling the articles of our Bill of Rights the amendments. Everybody needs to understand that it belongs to them and that it is there. When you see it being violated over there, you're holding it in your hand. That's yours. That's what they're taking. That they're doing it to you. It is personal to every one of us. Each one of these people that cross into our country illegally is a personal issue with each and every one of us that we could take, go to court for if we had our courts and we had the system of law that we were guaranteed. We could take him to court right now. I could go take care of Rob Emanuel. I could go arrest that son of a bitch. I could take everything that son of a bitch owns and have him jailed. I promise you I could. Administration. U.S. District Judge Harry Linenweber granted Chicago's request for a temporary nationwide injunction. That's what's happening here. See, that's why he don't care to step up with all these goddamn lies. He know it's just like the going to get rid of the dreamers. Everything he said, he just coming. Well, them courts won't let me. Yeah, well, yeah, it's because you're not exercising the executive authority of your office, you dirty criminal son of a bitch. Because all he has to do is, like I said, he can have these people arrested. He is the chief, he's the head of the goddamn military, and this is an invasion. He could go down and have them group arrested. He could have them bust into Washington, D.C. for trials. I guarantee it. An injunction, particularly a preliminary injunction, is an extreme remedy, Mannion wrote. A nationwide preliminary injunction is more extreme still. One should only be used where it is absolutely necessary, and it is far from absolutely necessary in the lengths they'll go. I mean, you think about you trying to acquire some kind of justice in this goddamn admiralty administrative system of theirs. Man, I mean, you could get accused of something that they know you're not guilty of, and it'd take you 5 years to reach an appeals level where they go, well, I guess, we're going to have to recognize this piece of evidence that says that you're not guilty. These goddamn foreigners come in here, and they don't even have to file a piece of paper. The goddamn courts jump into action without goddamn being moved by any American national, which they're not our courts anyway. They are the courts of the king. They are the admiralty courts, and they're just acting just, what would you call that? Independently. Independently as of any kind of legislation or anything. It's just, this is what we think, and this is how you're going to live. We're the goddamn communists, I guess this is all they had to do was just pack these illegal courts with their goddamn communist operatives and shit, try to do something about them. And the whole idea here is to have them in place so that if when it finally reaches the point that people understand there's only one way to get rid of these son of a bitches, then they go, you're breaking the law, stopping these lawbreakers, and we're going to shoot you for it. The Justice Department highlighted Mannion's dissent in part, adding nationwide injunctions allow a single federal district judge to set policy by ordering relief outside the scope of the particular case. Order it for America. I'm telling you, people. Many in the legal community have expressed concern that the use of nationwide injunctions is inconsistent with the separation of powers. Of course it is. And, it's just saying there is no executive. You can't enforce none of your laws. If you want to enforce one of your laws, you don't go and tell your executive, enforce that goddamn law. That's what I pay you for. You got to go and ask them, the communists in the courts, can we enforce this law? Well, no, this law here, we don't agree with it because it isn't fair to people from other countries that wants to come here and take your goddamn wealth away from you and take your goddamn lives away from you. It ain't fair to them. And we're going to err on the side of somebody from another country over you Americans, because we deplore you bastards, okay? Outside the scope of a particular case, many in the legal community have expressed concern. You bet you they have. We will continue to fight to carry out the department's commitment to the rule of law. I mean, that reminds me of that little piece in Josie Wells where he's talking to the old Indian guy, and he's talking about when they, you know, go to Washington, D.C. to tell him that they've taken their lands and enslaved them, beat them, and dirt them dirty. We shall endeavor to persevere. Just a goddamn slogan. That's what you get as an American national. You get a slogan, they get your country. Commitment to the rule of law, protecting public safety, and keeping criminal aliens off the street to further perpetrate crimes. They just released all these things about all of them. They've released all of them down here in Oregon and California, up in Washington, all the goddamn southern states, Texas. They've been releasing MS-13 gang members right in your goddamn face. I'm telling you, people. You, when they were coming across the border, you said, look at the teardrops, look at the tattoos. Those are MS-13 gang members. No, those are unaccompanied children. Those are just little children. Then they come here and they commit goddamn crimes. They murder your people. They cut your people up. And we have a serious, serious MS-13 gang problem. We don't know how it occurred, but by God, it's pretty bad. We're going to have to build some police state here. They build the police state, and then the police state, well, we can't touch them. There's federal judges protecting these fucking gangsters that are killing your kids, man. What's it going to take for you people to grow some goddamn spines and put an end to this? We will continue to carry out the department's commitment to rule of law. What a crock of shit. I mean, you talk about doing, I mean, just sitting there, they just told you that the law doesn't mean a goddamn thing, that there's some communist judges in the 5th district or 7th U.S. district that are said that your laws don't, we're not going to enforce, you can't enforce your laws. These goddamn MS-13 gang members can come in here, anybody can come in here and kill you. You got nothing you can do about it. And then in the very next breath, we will continue to fight to carry out the department's commitment to the rule of law. Hours after the ruling came down, Trump reacted to a recent Department of Homeland Security report that claims dozens of gang members were shielded from deportation and released from prison under sanctuary policy. Well, yeah. I mean, and just like I said, one breath, one side of the mouth, and then out of the other side. We're going to continue. You didn't continue what? You're going to continue what? You failed. You didn't do it. They said no to you. The communists told you no, and you sit down and shut up like you're supposed to. So you're going to continue to do that? You're going to continue to go and act like you're going to enforce the law. And then when these communist judges tell you you can't, these illegal communist judges, these foreign son of a bitches, this foreign jurisdiction that cannot exist in this country. And you're just going to, well, we're going to do it again. We're going to tell them stop again. I'm so excited. Sanctuary cities released at least 142 gang members across the United States, making it easy for them to commit all forms of violent crimes, but they're going to continue to enforce the laws and the department's law. They're going to continue to commit all forms of violent crimes where none have existed, Trump wrote. We are doing a great job of law enforcement. You just fucking told me you aren't doing shit. I mean, do they think we cannot even read and see what we're reading? You just told me 142 gang members, MS-13 gang members, were released across the United States. And then the next breath, we are doing a great job of law enforcement. But things such as this make safety in America difficult. Really. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, people, we go read this shit, and we go through this week after week after week. And as we're going through this, and they're talking, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, they're just pouring right in. Nothing has changed. Not since when Obama, in the middle of the, think of the middle of the Obama administration, they got everything cruising. It hasn't slowed down, people. This is bullshit. This is a stalling tactic as they're pouring more of them in here. South Carolina moves to censor Palestinian advocacy at public colleges and universities. And here's the true perpetrators behind the scenes, the true dirty insurgent fifth column bastards that are destroying your country. And just, hey, you know what? We're going to pass some laws to you. Can't even criticize these son of a bitches. And if they had their way right now, they would be like over in France and in Europe, you know, 5 years in jail in Germany. 5 years in jail for criticizing one of your Zionist masters over in the Holy Land. This is from Palestinian Legal. It was sent in by Galen for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Language aimed at censoring Palestinian advocacy at the South Carolina's public colleges and universities was added to the 2018-2019 budget bill last week. If passed, the budget will codify a widely discredited redefinition of anti-Semitism that classifies virtually all criticism of Israel and Israeli government policy as inherently anti-Semitic. There you go. You can't criticize a foreign government in this country now? We're going to be punished for criticizing a foreign government in this country now? Who do you serve? Well, we know they serve foreigners. They don't represent us. They represent MS-13 gang members. They represent every illegal invader. They represent the Chinese. And they absolutely represent the goddamn Israelis. And look at what I'm telling you. Do you think that the founders of this country, the people who fought and died to get it, what would they be saying about this? I can't criticize, well, that would be like saying, I can't criticize Scotland. I can't criticize England. Do you think they would, what would they have done back then after they just fought that war for their goddamn rights? What would they have done? We're going to pass a bill you're going to get in trouble if you criticize a foreign government. Think about that, people. I mean, that immensity of that statement and the meaning. My God. And people just say, yeah, I guess we can't say nothing about Israel no more. Oh, wow, okay. Do you understand what that means, though, right? Oh, of course I do. I know the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights. You don't know shit. You don't... People. The legislation would require public colleges and universities in South Carolina to use the overboard definition when investigating alleged acts of anti-Semitism on campuses. The legislation is backed by the Brandeis Center, whose founder and director, Kenneth Marcus, was nominated in November by President Trump to head the Civil Rights Division of the United States. Here's what you voted in, you dumb pricks. This is what you voted in. This is your Republican platform. Well, it's your Jew platform now, ain't it? Let's get real. Let's get realistic about the whole situation. It's the Jew platform. It is the Jew government you voted in. And you will not criticize it here or even in another goddamn country. U.S. Department of Education, confirmation vote is pending in the United States Senate following an outcry of opposition from a wide range of civil and human rights organizations. And there's only one human beings that have rights in the world, and it's called the Jews. Everybody else is a soulless animal. We got to get this to our heads if we're going to be good goyim that can survive maybe generation to generation with just being raped and beaten and used. We're down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Down the road here from me, there's an old holler tree where you lay down a dollar or two. Go on around the bend, come back again, there's a jug full of that good old Mountain Dew.
Oh, they call it that good old Mountain Dew, and then there if you get a few, I'll hush up my mug if you fill up my jug with that good old Mountain Dew.
sheriff pulled the trigger, and daddy stopped running that good corn liquor. Well, the sun don't shine on a London shops field. Copper line hiding in the side of the hill. It'll get you there. It'll get you there quicker.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:36 Pacific time, and that was, I forget. But it was good corn liquor. I remember that part. Anyways, we're talking about South Carolina moves to censor Palestinian advocacy at public colleges and universities. Well, you're not going to talk about your master's. You're not going to critique your master's. You're not going to say anything against your master's. You're going to accept your betters, and you're going to accept that you're just a goddamn going slave. This legislation is a blatant violation of students' constitutional right. No, see, I love that. I'm so sick of this constitutional rights bullshit. No, Bill of Rights. Bill of Rights, people. The Constitution was a sham from the get-go. A contract that has been completely, you know, breached out of existence. It has failed. It's a failed contract. It cannot be revived. It's gone. Get used to it. The power is reverted back to the people. We stand on our Bill of Rights, and we better understand what our Bill of Rights is. It ain't a bunch of amendments. It is the First Amendment to the Constitution, and it has 10 articles, the 9th article saying that none of the other articles can be touched, and they need to be enforced forthwith. Of students' constitutional right to support Palestinian freedom, said Raul Saxenia, man, that's a tough one, staff attorney for Palestinian Legal. This kind of censorship has no place in a so-called democracy. There we go. See, this is what is killing us right now. This ain't no democracy. This is a republic with an emphasis on the rights of the individual. It's a constitutional republic with a Bill of Rights that limits this goddamn government and how they can treat with our people. And they are in complete violation. Democracy. See, this is how they've done it. This is how they've got people saying Second Amendment. When people are asking, you know, are trying to invoke their guaranteed rights, they're doing it wrong. It is not the Third Amendment, the Fourth Amendment. These are articles of a single body of law. And you know, the more confusion, the better for them. This is not a democracy. They know goddamn good and well it ain't a democracy. But every time you hear one of them come up on the stupid box or anywhere else, this democracy, it is not a democracy. But there is nothing to compel them to do any different, so I suppose this is what they will continue to do. Particularly on college campuses, where we need students and scholars to engage in a vigorous exchange of ideas, especially around issues of public concern like Palestinian rights, and especially at a time when Israel is killing and maiming Palestinians in Gaza for protesting for their basic rights in blatant violation of international law. And man, I seen a piece where they were showing over there in Palestine, and they're just warning them to stay back away from that fence. You get within 200 yards of the goddamn fence, and they're sniping them. They're sniping them with rifles, and man, but the Palestinians have invoked a new weapon, and boy, I'm telling you, it justifies them shooting them with them bullets. You guys know what they're doing? They're taking kites. They're taking kites and lighting them on fire and then running them out over the, so they can get past the fence there, and them kites are falling. They could start a fire. So, of course, it's quite justified to take sniper rifles and shoot those Palestinians down. They could cause a fire. One of the holy people over there, one of the chosen people, could get a finger burned or something. It's dangerous. This is unbelievable. Let me see. Where? The over, let's see, where were we here, man? Oh, here we are. And killing and maiming Palestinians in Gaza for protesting for their basic rights. And this is what they want to do to you. They don't want you to have no basic rights any either. They want to put lines where you can't cross. You come within 200 yards of those lines. They want to be able to shoot you with bullets. And they don't want you to have any guns because they want you to be victims like the Palestinian people are. In blatant. Just listen to the statement here, people. Let's just listen to it. At times when Israel is killing and maiming Palestinians in Gaza for protesting for their basic rights, in blatant violation of international law. Oh, let's. Well, how about we shoot 100 missiles at them? What? No, I don't care if it is, but they violate. The law ain't for the for the Jews. It's for it's for the rest of the world. They're the chosen people. There is no law for them except for the laws they declare to each other out of their Talmud. You know, laws like say that they can booger little children and what might have you. If enacted, the legislation would require public colleges and universities in South Carolina to violate students' First Amendment rights. Well, you know, technically that is true. That's one of the First Amendment. It does violate their First Amendment right, but it's actually their First Article right under the First Amendment. But at least, you know, you say the First Amendment, you're talking about the Bill of Rights. When you say the First Amendment to the Constitution, that's the Bill of Rights at all. And this, like I said, this is something we got to push hard to get straightened out in people's minds. You just got to quit doing it. You got to quit calling this republic a democracy. You got to quit calling the articles of that body of law and amendments because they're not. And you're invoking it improperly. Violation of inner, First Amendment rights. Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, and other campus groups and individuals who seek to educate others about Israel's violations of Palestinian rights will likely face increased scrutiny, investigators, censorship. And when you start to invoke your own rights, you're going to get the same because the Jews are going to be in the position, well, we can violate your rights. We're the Jews. And if you go to invoke that right, well, you're being anti-Semitic because you will not let us violate that right. Isn't that kind of how this is turning out? Censorship and possibly punishment for speech and activities that are critical of Israel and Israeli government policies. A foreign government, people. Courts and government bodies have consistently held that speech activities critical of Israel, including boycotts for Palestinian rights, are protected by the First Amendment. Well, yeah, it's protected by the Bill of Rights for sure. It is absolutely protected. But, you know, here we are playing word salad again. Senator Larry Groom's insertion of the unconstitutional bill as a rider on the 2018-2019 budget is a deceitful effort to silence the First Amendment rights of those who protect or protest the Israeli occupation of Palestine, said Avra Navahat, I can't read it here, a member of SJP at the University of South Carolina. This legislation aims to silence any voices critical of Israeli policy or supportive of Palestinian rights. It is part of a troubling right-wing effort across the country to usurp civil rights. No, see, they're playing these games with it. It ain't usurping civil rights. Civil rights are granted by the government. Your rights that are in the Constitution, in your Bill of Rights, as the First Amendment to that Constitution, are not civil rights. Those are natural rights, guaranteed. And see, the civil liberties, a liberty is something somebody gives you, not something you're born with. And our right to advocate for justice in Palestine. Yeah, but you know, this whole thing here, these things are designed. They will not show you your Bill of Rights. They will not talk about it except in abstract terms that are demean the meaning of the words. I don't want civil rights. I don't want civil liberties. I want my rights under the Bill of Rights as written in the common law. Similar efforts to codify the overboard redefinition of anti-Semitism have failed due to constitutional concerns in the U.S. Congress and Virginia. Really? Well, let's see what else. Let's see what the communists can get away with here. Woman calls police over man wearing pro-gun t-shirt at park. This is from Maven, sent in by Joe STP for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. A Texas father's afternoon visit to a local park prompted a police response after a woman alleged that the man's pro-gun Warrior 12 shirt was making other parents uncomfortable, police said. And, of course, this woman was arrested for calling in a false report. And what might No. Troy Johnson and his two daughters, ages 4 and 6, stopped at Castle Park on March 30th so the children could enjoy the park's swings and maze. He told Blue Lives Matter. Johnson said he was openly carrying his handgun in a holster on his hip and was also sporting a Warrior 12 shirt emblazoned with the words, "I'll control my guns, you control your kids," across the back. The shirt also featured an image of an AR-15 rifle. Oh my God, those images kill people. "I figured I might get some comments or looks," Johnston said, "but was legally exercising my First and Second Amendment rights." No, you weren't. You don't know what the hell you're talking about, mister. You were exercising your First Article and your Second Article rights under the First Amendment. We got to get this straightened out. We got to get people's minds right on this, people. This is why they're ignoring it. If people started invoking their, like this here, I started saying my First Article and said, "Well, there'll be, blah, 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 blah." No, we can't do that. What, man? I tell you what, they would get scared. It would affect them. Approximately 30 minutes after the kids began playing, a man approached him with his wife and daughter in tow, Johnson said. He said the man told him that a woman was fuming over the message on Johnson's shirt, as well as the fact that he was armed. "I thanked him for letting me know and continued playing with my kids," Johnson said. A short while later, another man and his family approached Johnson and asked to read his shirt, he said. Johnson showed him his shirt, at which point the man warned him that his father-in-law had just been harassed by a woman in the parking lot and that she was contacting police regarding Johnson's attire. The man told Johnson that he didn't know what was wrong with her, and that he actually felt more secure knowing there was someone there that would protect them, Johnson said. Although he had intended to leave prior to his conversation with the second man, Johnson said he opted to wait for police once he became aware that they had likely been called into the area. According to Binbrook Police Department, Corporal Jay Reese, a woman contacted the department at approximately 3:21 p.m. and reported a suspicious person with a gun holstered to his chest was wearing a shirt that read, "You can control your kids, I'll control my gun." Corporal Reese arrived at the scene where he made contact with the woman. She claimed that Johnson was making other parents on the playground very uncomfortable. Well, you've got a right not to be uncomfortable. I mean, if my gun makes you uncomfortable, I got to get rid of that gun, because you got the right to be comfortable. Everywhere you go, if something bothers you, if there's a flower, pick it, throw it out of the way, because it makes you uncomfortable. I mean, this person should have been arrested, or am I missing something here? Was making other parents on the playground uncomfortable with his T-shirt. The corporal wrote in his report of the incident, "The subject did not act threatening to anyone, nor did he threaten anyone." I'm going to drink this coffee. The woman told police she was not worried about the gun, which officers noted was located on Johnson's hip, consistent with the information provided to Blue Lives Matter. She was not scared of the gun, Corporal Reese said. She was concerned about the T-shirt. She was concerned about, you know, hey, man, this is a communist state, and I don't have to look at T-shirts with AR-15s on them. Get it off, boy. Johnson voluntarily identified himself to police as he sat in his vehicle, the corporal noted. "I offered my LTC to the cops." I guess that's license. That would be license to carry. Oh, you're just, I mean, this guy's a real renegade, isn't he? "They didn't ask," Johnson told Blue Lives Matter. Corporal Reese described Johnson as polite and said he confirmed the woman's account of what had occurred. Johnson advised he knew the police had been called and was waiting to speak with the officer. Officers, the report said, he was simply at the park playing with his two daughters. Johnson said, as he spoke with police, the woman looked on from 25 to 30 feet away. He said she began cautioning everyone who walked near her to avoid the park because there's a man with a gun. She was highly ticked off, Johnson said. Why didn't she go to jail is my only question here. The irate woman never spoke to him directly, he added. Everyone else at the park seemed perfectly fine with it, he told Blue Lives Matter. Having done nothing wrong, Johnson was allowed to leave the area that they allowed him to leave. They, after he, you know, showed his papers and he explained himself for being there, doing nothing, he was allowed to leave. Wasn't that white of him? Police said, I cannot believe how the media has convinced so many people that guns are scary, he said. This lady was having a literal panic attack. Despite the controversy, Johnson said he had no intention to quit wearing his Warrior 12 shirt. I love my shirt, he said. I'll probably order more so I can wear them every day. I'm off work. Why wasn't this woman arrested for calling in a false police report? She wasn't. I'm telling you, they consoled her and said, well, God, we'd like to do something, lady. You're going to have to get there, get your pussy hat on and get down there and start protesting and get these laws passed so that we can go ahead and attack these people. For we want to stop them wearing these T-shirts and wearing their guns, but we need your help, ma'am. And I mean, like I said, she should have been. What would happen to you? You call in a false report on somebody. Illegal aliens caught near border with assault-style firearms, say Border Patrol. I think we started on this one yesterday, so we're going to go to another one. In Louisiana, threatening to file a complaint against police can lead to a 5-year prison sentence. And, man, this is the way it should be. I mean, we got to protect the cops. That's what the cops are there for, the people to protect, right? This is from Injustice Today, sent in by Joe from Mass Private Eye for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. On April 30th, 2015, William Aubin Jr. was at home with his wife in Livingston Parish, Louisiana, where a patrol car from the sheriff's office pulled into his street. The deputy, William Durkin, was there to investigate a reckless driving complaint. Aubin wasn't involved in the incident, but he knew about it and went outside of his house to speak with Durkin. During a vulgar and combative conversation, according to Aubin, Durkin repeatedly called Aubin a pussy. I'm calling your supervisor, Aubin said. I'm going to get you fired. Aubin took out his cell phone, called the sheriff's department, and started walking back towards his house. But before he made it inside, Durkin arrested him. The charge? Intimidation of a public official, a felony that in Louisiana carries a maximum penalty of 5 years in prison. The 21st Judicial District Attorney's Office, whose jurisdictions include Livingston Parish, ultimately declined to prosecute Aubin. But in a lawsuit filed in April 2016 in the U.S. District Court of the Middle District of Louisiana against Durkin and his supervisor, Sheriff Jason Ard, Aubin challenged the constitutionality. See, constitutionality. It don't got nothing to do with the Constitution, people. It's that Bill of Rights. It's the procedural due process in the Bill of Rights. Constitutionality of the statute that led to his arrest. The statute prohibits the use of violence, force, or threats with the intent to influence an officer's conduct in relation to his position, employment, or duty. These are private pigs, man. This is the corporation coming and trying to make policies that violate your rights. I can say anything I want to that son of a bitch. But there, I mean, the special protection, I mean, it's so far gone, it's hard to argue. The statute prohibits the use of violence, force, or threats. I'm going to have you fired, you son of a, you're under arrest, 5-year beef. You don't threaten to have me anything, boy. I don't serve you, boy. I serve the corporation, boy. And the corporation will slam you into a whacking hut prison and you'll be working for us for a while, boy. The statute's constitutionality was also called into question in a December 2015 incident in nearby, Tangapahoa Parish, when officers pepper sprayed a man named Travis Seals, even though he was already in handcuffs, after telling the officers he was going to file a complaint against them. You don't say you're going to file a complaint. You have no redress. You have no right in any court. The people of this country, I mean, under our law, we have the right to arrest. We have the right to resist unlawful arrest. I mean, what can I say? Oh, man. Where were we here? File a complaint against him. He, too, was charged with public intimidation. Seals then launched his own lawsuit, also in federal court, challenging the constitutionality of the statute. It has nothing to do with the Constitution. It was a violation of the man's Bill of Rights. I mean, if he would have cited the articles in the First Amendment to the Constitution, it would make a difference, people. We're calling for our rights in the wrong language. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry intervened in both cases to defend it, but in the past year, federal judges in the two cases have called the statute unconstitutional. Why is it unconstitutional? What's it have to do with the Constitution? What's the Bill of Rights? You violated my personal rights that don't have anything to do with that goddamn Constitution, except that they forbid under the Ninth Article for you creating any kind of power to touch them. In a September 2017 ruling, Chief Judge Brian A. Jackson of the United States District Court for the Middle District of Louisiana pillared the application of the statute in the Aubin case. The right to criticize the public without risk of arrest distinguishes a democracy from a police state. Here we are again. Everywhere you turn. A democracy. This is not a democracy. It's all in. See, we can't get this shit straightened out because we can't even address it correctly. A democracy, really. Oh, where were we here? Democracy from a police state. He wrote in the Seals case. Jane Trich Malazzo, a judge in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Louisiana, ruled last July that the statute violates the First Amendment. Yeah, it does. It's called the Bill of Rights. It violates it in all. It sure as hell does. And I can explain how it does, but I bet you can't. Well, some of you people could, because you understand it. You've took the time to learn what the Bill of Rights is. The Attorney General does little in the way of arguing that the law is constitutional as written or in overcoming the presumption of unconstitutionality. A presumption of unconstitutionality? Milazu wrote, she noted that the statute broadly criminalized threats to engage in lawful conduct such as criticizing a police officer, writing a letter to the newspaper, filing a lawsuit, voting for an official's opponent, or filing an ethics complaint. Yeah, you can say, I'm not going to vote for you. Oh, you can't do that. Yeah, we're going to arrest you. That's a 5-year beef. Landry has appealed her ruling to the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. His office did not respond to requests for comment. Kearney Laughlin, the New Orleans-based attorney representing both Aubin and Seals, says that the statute has become a sort of hammer that the police officers can use. Listen to this. It's like asset forfeiture. Is it illegal? Oh, hell yeah, it's illegal. It don't matter. It's their hammer. Since it was ratified in 1942, you get a higher bail because it's a felony. Oh, see, what? Ratified 1942. You get a higher bail because it's a felony, he said. It's a more serious felony than battery on a police officer. You can punch an officer and not face the same ramifications. According to Laughlin, higher bail means that often many are jailed simply because they can't afford to purchase their freedom. Laughlin also says that prosecutors may be using the law against defendants arrested for less serious offenses such as public intoxication in order to leverage them into pleading guilty to lesser charges. You talk about your racketeering, and that what Mike was bringing up a while ago. Isn't this racketeering? Of course it is. In the August 2017, the ACLU condemned the statute after it was used in the case of a northern Louisiana man who raised his middle finger to a state trooper. Among the freedoms this country provides is the right to criticize the government and public officials, including police officers, wrote Marjorie Eastman, who was then the executive director of the ACLU of Louisiana. Sheriff Ard, one of the defendants in the Aubin lawsuit, argued in court filings that the statute is necessary to protect public officials from threats and coercion. Shit. Gangsters. I mean, this whole thing is, well, another week of it, people. We end the week here with just another outrage, and that's how it is. We are at the top of the hour. We will be back on Monday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, well, man, expect anything at any time, I suppose, and that is The Word from the Trenches.
Man above, I have done all I can do.
Cookies!